The Universal Day of Mating by Michael Pakalik. Should Catholics celebrate St. Valentine's Day? The best recommendation for celebrating it at all, I think, is that in our tradition, three different martyred saints have been called Valentine, and the feast day for all three of them is February 14th. At least so states the Catholic Encyclopedia. In an article by judicious scholar, Father Herbert Thurston, S.J., famous for his skepticism about legends. One is described as a priest at Rome, another as Bishop of Interamna, modern Terni, and these two seem both to have suffered in the second half of the 3rd century and to have been buried on the Flaminian Way, but at different distances from the city. Of both these Saint Valentines, some sort of acta are preserved, but they are of relatively late date and of no historical value. Of the 3rd Saint Valentine, who suffered in Africa with a number of companions, nothing further is known. If we have any belief in divine providence at all, we should take this feast in triplicate, I consider, as a sign that God endorses some kind of celebration of St. Valentine on February 14th. Yet, what do we celebrate? From the tradition, if we adopt the skepticism of Father Thurston, only martyrdom. Not that there is anything only about martyrdom, the complete gift of the body, with abandonment, to God. The ecstasy of living outside of oneself in death. For Christ, an unbreakable fidelity, mirroring that of the bride, the church, to the bridegroom. Simply in martyrdom, there is the essence of all genuine romance. If on St. Valentine's Day we celebrate only martyrdom, we shall not be doing badly. But over time, the sense of the Christian faithful cause to sprout and grow, as if it deeply desired it, over this core of martyrdom, a festival of Christian mating. It was as if some austere wooden cross planted in the hard winter's ground should become adorned with flowery vines of early spring, which appeared spontaneously from the earth and grew up around it. That these traditions of mating and later romantic love in general are genuine offshoots of an incarnate Western Christian sensibility is shown by how Muslim countries respond to the commercial holiday today. They ban roses, flowers, cards, and even the color red around the date of February 14th, viewing them as Christian incursions. An early legend of one of the Roman Saint Valentines, dismissed by Father Thurston, is that the saint, when in prison, secretly married Roman soldiers to their brides, against the emperor's order that the men had to remain single to fight more effectively. If this legend is true, then one Saint Valentine, fully in accord with the spirit of martyrdom, was also a pro-family pronatalist, prepared to commit civil disobedience against unjust laws. But mating became more strongly associated with St. Valentine's feast day around the time of Chaucer because of a popular belief that birds paired off into monogamous couples on the feast. Again, why February 14th precisely, when that date is a little early for birds and presumably birds pair off throughout all of spring? No one knows for sure. Chaucer wrote a poem on the theme, The Parliament of Fowls, in which among others Cupid, chaste Diana, Bacchus, and preeminent Priapus appear. For this was on St. Valentine's Day. One every fowl cometh there to choose his make. And although Chaucer himself perhaps understood the pairing off to take place in early May, over time, popular intuition firmly placed the mating of the birds on February 14th. The two St. Valentine's poems of courtly love by John Gower, 1330 to 1408, Chaucer's friend, both presuppose that the love celebrated on that date is loyal and monogamous, like that of birds. St. Valentine has under his governance the love and the nature of all birds, whereby each of them chooses a worthy partner, similar to its size according to its desire, entirely of one accord and one assent. For that one alone it leaves alone. All others for nature teaches. Where the heart is, the body must obey. Cinquani Ballades, N34. In the later Potton letters, correspondence among members of the Potton family in 15th century England, a Valentine is a message sent to a suitor on the day on which every bird chooses himself a mate, indicating that the woman he is courting is willing to marry him. Emphasized in Gower and in other poetry of the time is that the love celebrated on Valentine's Day wells up from nature and is fertile and procreative while also being a remedy for loneliness. It is implicitly sacramental, too, because it finds its purpose in marriage. In short, If we were to look for the deep meaning of St. Valentine's Day, as discernible in the Christian West, we could do no better than to restate St. Augustine's triad of the purposes of marriage: children, conjugal faith, the sacrament, each of which readers will appreciate, implies its own martyrdom. Catholics, I think, should be stewards of this tradition. Indeed, perhaps the only persons situated to celebrate St. Valentine's Day the way it should be are Christians in a sacramental marriage, engaged couples, and couples discerning engagement. Of course, there was the merchandising of Valentine's Day, beginning in industrial age England, mainly the mass production of cards, for young men in love who were incapable of finding words, and for young women who wanted to be courted and were hoping that, if there were many more cards in circulation, then it was more likely that some would find their way to them. And then, too, there was the inevitable detachment of romantic love from marriage, chiefly to highlight it through intensification, yet from bad motives as well. But as in everything else, our task is to choose the good and toss out the bad. It is simply our work as Catholics in the world.